Galatians 3 in verse 13. Galatians 3 verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Next verse. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what?
Faith.
Through faith. Amen. You know, as we approach the Easter weekend, I want us to begin to explore the events that happened at Easter. What happened Good Friday and what happened on Resurrection Sunday. We want to begin to explore it. We want to gain a behind-the-scenes understanding, because there is something that led to Easter, and that's what we're going to be exploring for the next few sessions. I want you to buckle up, belt up, because this is going to be a lot of teaching. And some of it, I'm sure most of you already know, but it's important to explore this, because this is the most significant, the most consequential event in human history. It is the most important event, the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, most consequential for eternity. It determines where we will spend our eternity, because this world is not the end of everything. Amen. God's desire for humanity is that we will reign in eternity with him. But something happened to stop that from happening. So let's go quickly to that scripture again, verse number 13 of Galatians 3. Let's look at it again. Let's unpack it. Say, Christ has redeemed us. And the word redeem is to buy back. You know, when you've lost something, maybe, you know, you have people that maybe the debt collector or something has come and he has taken your property. In order for you to get it back, there is an amount you have to pay. So to redeem means to purchase back, to buy back. To redeem means to ransom. So if somebody has been kidnapped, arrested, you know, in order to get them back, the word redeem is what you do when you ransom the person, to give a ransom. The word redeem also means to recover ownership by paying a specific sum. So you recover ownership. Now, this is so important because this is what Christ has done for us. We are not going to be redeemed. We have been redeemed. Now, this is consequential. This is important. And, you know, Minister Kweju was ministering this morning and talking about revelation. And in revelation, you need to gain understanding. And that's what we need to be getting every time we come to church, to gain understanding. And so recover ownership by paying. So there is a price paid for redemption, isn't it? If there is no price paid, there will be no redemption. You can't have it back. You can't buy that thing back. And, you know, it's amazing that even the dictionary says the word redeem means to release from blame or debt. See, once something has been redeemed, that person who was in debt is now released. Hallelujah. That is, they are released from the blame. If there was going to be any blame, they are released from it. And they are also released from the debt. And another one is, it says to free from the consequences of sin. Now, I hope you're paying attention to this. This is what Christ has done for us. He has bought us back. We now belong to God. That's why you are called a child of God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that shall not do what? They will not perish, but they shall have eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life is Zoe. It is the life of God. Now you have eternal life. You have a new life. You are not the person who was under the ownership of another. Now, if we were redeemed, if we were bought back, it means prior to our being redeemed, we were under the ownership of another person, isn't it? So we needed to be bought back. And you know, all of these things are legal. You see, what Christ did is a legal sacrifice, because God couldn't just say, well, I take them back. Because God is a just God. Justice has to be served. The soul that sins, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20 says, the soul that sins shall die. So the penalty for sin is what? Is death. And the Bible says, all have done what? So you and I, we have sinned. All of humanity has sinned. And when Adam and Eve disobeyed, guess what they did? They sold themselves to the devil. That's the reason God has to buy us back. They legally sold themselves to the devil. So God has to mete out justice unto them. The Bible says, the day you eat of that fruit, of that tree, what will happen? You shall surely die, because the penalty for disobedience, the penalty for sin is what? Is death. See, sin is not a small thing. Sin is a big deal. Sin has penalties and consequences. You know, thank God that our sin has been what? Has been paid for. But it's a big thing to God. You cannot fellowship with God with sin. You cannot relate with him, because God cannot behold iniquity. He can look at it. And so God said to them that the day they will eat of that tree, they will die. But guess what? Adam did and Eve, they didn't die physically. But you see, from that day, they died. They were separated from God. Notice this, the main reason God made man was it to have fellowship with us. That's his main goal. He wants to relate with humanity. He wants to relate with us. He wants us to rule and to reign in this world. Because God blessed them. He said that they should be what? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and have dominion. God gave man dominion over everything. He wanted to relate. In fact, what he wanted was for us to replicate heaven on earth. That's why the first thing Jesus told them when they asked us to pray is that let thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. You see, if Adam and Eve had not disobeyed God, there would have been no sin in the world. And if there was no sin, it means there would be no death. Hallelujah. So all of the evil going on in the world today is because Adam did what? Adam sinned. Adam sinned. So the reason you sin, keep putting it down. Can you put it down? Amen. The reason you sin, the reason I sin is because of what? Because Adam sinned. If Adam never sinned, no one will ever sin. Because through Adam, sin entered into the world. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I told you that you should buckle up, because we want to really go into detail on this truth. It said, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. So what happened is God gave commandment. He told them that the day you eat of this, that you should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And some people will say, well, why did God put that tree there in the first place? Why didn't he just not put the tree there? You see, when God made man, he made us with a power of choice. What makes us human is because we have choice. God did not make zombies. God did not make people who would be forced to obey him. God made us with the power of choice. That's what distinguishes human beings from every other being. that has been created. We have a choice to do what we like, to do what God says, and not to do what God says. So if there was no tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then there's no way they could exercise choice, because they will just do what God says. There will be nothing to determine whether they will use their choice to obey God. In fact, they will never be able to disobey God if there was no choice. Did you know that? So there has to be a choice for them to exercise choice. There has to be something that will drive them to say, this is my will. I use my will to obey God or to disobey God. So he says, what did they do? They yielded themselves. And when they yielded themselves, they became servants to the devil. They yielded all of humanity, because all of humanity came from Adam. All. The Bible says we all came from one blood. One blood. So we all came from Adam. The Bible says when Adam sinned, all men sinned. So sin, the Bible says through sin, death was reigning. So they died spiritually. They were separated from God. And the next thing that happened was, after so many years, they died physically. So if they had not sinned, every one of us would have been in eternity. There would no need for Christ to come and to die, and for him to come back and we say, we're going to heaven. This earth will be our heaven. Hallelujah. So now, through Adam, we are now in the ownership of the devil. They yielded their authority to the devil. They yielded humanity to the devil. So we need to be brought back. Hallelujah. And this is, why would God be interested? Why didn't he just say, well, that's the end. Let the devil become their owner. No, because God still desires. That's why the Bible says, for God so do what? He loves us so much. He loves us. He wants to relate with us. We are his people. We are his family. He made us. We are his creation. He doesn't want to lose us. So he's desiring to bring us back. Praise God. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Romans 5, 19. It says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By the one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. But look at the next one. Also, by one man's obedience. You see, it took one man to turn you to a sinner. So it will only have to take one man to turn you to a saint. I hope you're catching this. There's nothing you personally did to turn you to a sinner. Even though you sin now, people sin now, that's not what made you a sinner. You became a sinner when who sinned? When Adam disobeyed. So how are you going to become righteous when another person who is righteous obeys the word of God, amen, and pays the price for you? And so we are under the control of the devil. And listen to me, right now, the devil, you know, is the one who is the god of this world, the Bible says. You know, people look at the world and say, why is all of these things happening? It's because of sin. God is not happy with what is happening in the world today. And that's why Christ will have to come back, and he's going to clear up all that we see. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. How do we know that, the devil, look at Luke chapter 4. The devil knows that Adam has given to him authority over everything. When he was tempting Jesus, Luke chapter 4, he says, then the devil taking him up on a high mountain. See, did he tempt Adam and Eve? And did they fall? Oh, yes, they fell. Their disobedience led to sin. And that sin led to death. And it brought us under the ownership of the devil. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Next verse. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and their glory. For this has been what? Has been delivered to me. He didn't say I had it from the beginning. It was delivered. All of the authority, the dominion that God gave to Adam and Eve, they wielded it. Because anyone you obey, you submit to, you yield to, it becomes your master. That's the reason, you see, the reason people are committing evil, atrocities, anger, and all of the evil things that you may see today, lack of control. We can't have self-control. We can't control our temper. We can't control ourselves. And all of the urges and things that go on in the world is because there is a master. The devil is the master. He's controlling everything. Once you yield to him to obey him, he lords it over you. Amen. And that's why to receive Jesus, what do? You invite him into your life as your Lord and Savior. The word Lord means master. So Jesus pays the price, but you've got to receive him so that you come under his ownership. You leave the ownership of the devil and come under his ownership so that the enemy will no longer have any power over you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. So he said, and the devil said to him, all this authority. Can you imagine? You know, Jesus didn't question. He didn't say to the devil, oh, where did you get the authority from? No, Jesus knew. He has the authority. He has the authority to control the minds of people, to control the hearts of people, and make them do all of the evil things that are going on in the world. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for Jesus. He says he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we need a savior. We need somebody to buy us back from the clutches, from the hand, from the control, from the domain of the enemy. Because anyone who is not in Christ is under the domain of the enemy. So Galatians 3, let's go back and look at it again. Let's look at it again. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do it? Having become what? A curse. Now, this is what we're going to be looking into. How did Jesus buy us back? How did he redeem us? He became a curse. See, sin is a curse. Death is a curse. Everything that is associated with death is a curse. It came because Adam disobeyed, because Adam sinned, and it came under his authority. So those things were reigning in their life, reigning in the life of people. Now, Jesus became a curse. Now, think about that. You know, as a believer, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to worry about curses. Curses cannot work over you. Now, I know I've said it many times, and there are still people who still kind of, they have an issue with it. There is no curse of the enemy that can work on you. Why? What's the reason? You have been redeemed from that curse. You know, when you read Deuteronomy 28, you see all of the list. And do you know in Deuteronomy 28, how many verses are there? It's a long chapter. And the blessings that are listed, they are not even as many as the curses. When you read Deuteronomy 28 and you see a curse, it cannot work on you. You know why? When you read it, don't read it as the people who were at the time before Christ died for them. You read it because Christ has redeemed it from the curse of the law. None of these diseases, none of these curses can work over me. Hallelujah. What you need to be concerned about is how the blessing will come on you. Look at what it says, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. So he has redeemed you from the curse of the law so that the blessing. So now you want to begin to explore how the blessing will come upon you. We have been redeemed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. I really want to camp on this. Jesus redeemed us by becoming a curse. He has taken the curse on himself. You know, he didn't just try to part. He bought us back from the hand of the one who was holding us, who was controlling us, who was determining our destiny and our future. He has brought us back from that. He has paid a price. You cannot be cursed anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's a weighty subject because to believe that you can be cursed is to say the price that Jesus paid was not enough. It was not sufficient. Look at it. It said, knowing that You were not redeemed with what? Corruptible things, like silver or gold. So it was not, God didn't say, well, I'm going to redeem them and I'm going to pay the devil amount of money, isn't it? But no, he couldn't do that because it is the soul that's sin that has to die. We have to pay the penalty for our sin. Humanity has to pay. And what would that mean for humanity? Every person from Adam to the last person will have had to be killed. They will have had to die. Not just die the physical death. They will die spiritually, never to have any relationship with God again. So it says, God did not redeem us with silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from, keep going, from your fathers. Next verse. But with the precious, how were we redeemed? The precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So Christ has redeemed us. He used his precious blood. He's letting us know that this redemption did not come through just ordinary things. Gold could have been sufficient. A diamond could have been, but it would not be enough to pay for what the human person has done, because it is that person that has to die for their sins. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. This dates back to the Old Testament. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, what did God have to do? He had to slaughter, you know, an animal to get the blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Somebody has to take the place. And by the way, the title of this series is Trading Places, Our Redemption. Trading Places. And the Bible says Jesus became a curse. So he traded places with you. He took on your curse so that you can be blessed. Hallelujah. Say, I am blessed. I am not cursed. Now, this is not something that you should just say. This is something you should know and understand. If the enemy comes to your mind and say you have a curse, say, no, I've been redeemed from it. You see, what the enemy wants you to not know is what Christ has done for you. And I tell you today, there's going to be understanding and enlightenment. You will know what Christ has done for us. Hallelujah. Leviticus. So in the Old Testament, God called the people, the children of Abraham, the children of Israel. And in order to relate with them, every time they sinned, they couldn't relate with God. So as a nation, they were called to serve God. So he told the high priest, Aaron, what he would need to do every year, so that he will be able to take the sin of the people. The only way they can relate with me for the whole year is if somebody took their sin. They cannot relate with me in their sin. So somebody has to pay for it. Let's do it. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring what? The live goat. Live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of what? On the head of the live goat. So Aaron is the high priest. Aaron is the representative between the people and God. He is the stand between. He is the mediator. And so he is the one to say, well, the people have sinned and they are not going to be. You see, Aaron himself will not even be able to go to God. If you read that Leviticus 16, he had to first kill a bull for himself, to cleanse himself, to cleanse his family. Because if he enters the Holy of Holies in his sin, he would die. Because the penalty for sin is what? Is dead. It is legal. Redemption is a legal term. Because God is a God of justice, he will not pervert justice for anyone. He is the one who pronounced that the day you eat of the tree, you shall die. So he has to keep to his word. There has to be a penalty. You see, justice must be done, and it must also what? Be seen to be done. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He had to become a curse. He didn't just say he became a curse by staying in heaven and then announcing to us he has become a curse. He had to go to the tree and hang there. because it is declared, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. So justice is served and it is seen. It is manifestedly, is that a good word? Manifestedly seen to have been done. Why would all this happen for you and for me? This is what is happening. So you see now, this nation, they sin, and God is saying, in order for them to be able to relate with me without sin, you've got to get someone else. But I'm not going to kill any of you. Get a goat. That's where we got the word scapegoat. Do you know that Jesus is our scapegoat? Did the goat sin? Who sinned? The people sinned. The goat did not sin. Is it fair on the goat? But which one would you rather choose? That's why it is called the scapegoat. Now, you think about this. Jesus is that goat. He didn't sin. The Bible says, as with a lamb without spot or blemish, no sin at all. So all of this preparation has been happening in the Old Testament. This is the nature of God. Somebody has to trade places for a person who wants to relate with God and who has already sinned. Something, there has to be an exchange. Look at what he says. He lay his hands on the head of the live goat and do what? Confess over it. And it has to be a live goat, not a dead one. Confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their what? All their transgressions. So he will lay hands on them. And he will say, all the people that committed adultery, I laid the sin on you. All the people that told lies, I laid the sin on you. All the people that beat up their friends or someone else, I laid their sins on you. All the people who stole, I laid their sins on you. All the people, whatever anybody, it's not something that happened in 1 minute, because say all their iniquities. So maybe he will have done a survey in the camp to find out. Can you imagine me coming and asking people to go around and do a survey? To ask every person. Go and ask Kemi, what sin did she commit this year? Go and ask Lucinda, what sin did she commit this year? And you know what? The people will volunteer the information. Why would they volunteer? Because they know there is a scapegoat. And as soon as everything was laid on the scapegoat, guess what the people will do? They go home rejoicing. They say, no curse can work on me anymore. Why would they think no curse will work on them anymore? Because the goat has taken the penalty for their sin. Look at what it says. It says, consigning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat. You remember when they laid the crown of thorns on Jesus? They were laying on him. They were mocking him and beating him. They were laying upon him all the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. He says, they're putting them on the head of the goat and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a what? A suitable man. Why is that happening? God wants to separate this sin. That goat must never be able to come back to the camp. Because if he returns back to the camp, their sin has returned. That's why the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, he has taken your sins away from you. Your sin is no longer an issue between you and God. Curses are no longer an issue for you because it's been laid. Why is there any curse? Because there is sin. So if you deal with sin, you deal with curses. If you deal with sin, you deal with death. And so the suitable man, let's keep reading. So he needs a suitable man. What does it mean? It has to be somebody who is strong enough, not somebody who will be carrying the goat and the goat will escape. It has to be somebody strong enough. And even if the goat was to escape, what will he do? You will run after it because you know the life of the people depends on that goat. That goat is carrying their sin. That goat is like their salvation. If that goat comes back, there's a problem. So it said, the goat shall bear on itself all the iniquities to an on what? Uninhabited land. And he shall release the goat in the wilderness, making sure that the sin never returns. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 53. So there's a trade-off, isn't it? You're trading places. Trading places with the goat. The goat becomes the scapegoat. How many watch the movie Trading Places? Did you see it? Wow. It's a good movie. I'm not saying you should go home and watch it, but it's a good movie. What happened was that you had someone who was rich and another one who was poor, and they were traded. The poor became rich, and the rich became poor. Trading Places. You know, did you watch or read the book, The Prince and the Pauper? Trading Places. That's what it means to trade places. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid what? On him. The iniquity of us all. Your sins have been laid on Jesus. Amen. I said your sins have been laid on Jesus. This is how he became a curse. There's no way Jesus could have been cursed. There's no way Jesus could have been killed. They would never have been able to kill him unless he took your place. He was taken. We deserve to be on that cross. We deserve the death, but he traded places with us. Thank God for Jesus. Look at it in the Amplified Version. Let's read the Amplified Version. See, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Do we have the Amplified Version? We have turned each one to his own way. But the Lord has caused what? The wickedness of us all. Our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing to fall on him, what? Instead of us, trading places. Trading places. So sin is not. You see, if you commit any sin, all you have to do is say, Father, I confess my sin and I ask for your forgiveness. And what happens? Immediately you are forgiven. Why would that happen? Because the scapegoat has already taken your sin and it's been taken away far from you. He paid for the sin of people, you know, at the time, and those who will ever live, our sin have been paid for. And Jesus has redeemed us from every curse of the law. I am redeemed. No more curses can work on you. In the name of Jesus, you have a scapegoat who has taken away all your sins. And Jesus, through that, has brought us back unto God. I am now a child of God. You've been redeemed from the kingdom of darkness, and you've been translated in the kingdom of God's dear Son. Praise God. I said, praise God. Go to Isaiah 53. Let's start from verse 1. Let's read it from verse 1. You have it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. You don't have it. Okay. Say, who has believed? No, let's look in the King James Version. The King James Version. Who has believed our report? What's the report? The report is what Christ has done for us. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Keep going. He shall grow up as a tender plant. And as a root out of dry ground, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, you know, Jesus, by the time he was going to the cross, you couldn't look at him. He was defaced. Do you know what defaced him? The sin. He was carrying the iniquity of us all. Keep going.
He's despised and rejected by
men. He's despised and rejected by men.
A man of sorrows and acquainted.
A man of sorrows. Why is Jesus a man of sorrows? Did he have his own sorrow? Did he have any sorrow? No, he did not have any sorrow of himself. He was trading places with us. He was carrying our sorrows. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And what happened? We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Keep going. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4. Surely he has borne our grief. Say, he has borne my grief. Yes. Now, so the Bible says he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. See, there's grief in the curse. All of the things that are contained in the curse, Jesus bore. He traded places. It's important to see this. Anytime that anything is happening to you, you say, it does not belong in my body. Because Christ has paid for it. And he didn't pay with silver and gold. He paid with his own precious blood. Any sickness, any pain, you can lay claim on the blessing of Abraham. Because he redeemed you from the curse that what? The blessing of Abraham might come upon us. And it's going to happen by faith. And that's the reason you need to understand what Christ has done, because you can lay claim to what Christ has done by faith. By faith. He says, surely he has borne our. You see, he didn't bear his own grief because he had no grief. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Our sorrows. And we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Keep going. But he was wounded for what? Our. Are you seeing the exchange happening? It is for you. Anything that he has paid for, you can lay claim on it. You don't have to allow the things that were upon us before to still reign in our body. We've got to lay claim on it by faith. Lay claim on your health by faith. Lay claim on your marriage by faith. Lay claim on everything. Look at the, I like the next one. It says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Now, you stop there. Anytime you've done something wrong, what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind as a believer?
Judgment.
People think of judgment. But you shouldn't think judgment. What should you think of? The payment. And that draws you closer to God. See, if you think judgment, what happens is it draws you away from God. The Bible says, for God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Condemnation draws you away from God. If I know that Christ has redeemed me, I run to him all the time. Even when I have faults and mistakes, I run to Christ. I don't run away from Christ. Hallelujah. Remember the prodigal son? He ran back home. Because he remembered the mercy and the goodness of his father. The Bible says the goodness of God leads people to repentance. He ran back to God. This Easter, we need to understand that Jesus paid a great price for our sin. He redeemed us from every curse, every sickness, every pain, every grief. He has redeemed us from it. And you know, he says he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Are you healed? Amen. You know, you say, you know, but I've still got this issue in my body. Let me tell you something. Healing is simple. Jesus paid for it. Amen. It is simple. And I desire that all of us will walk in health. Can we walk in health? Because Christ has paid for it. Let's begin to declare and say, he was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. What is the word chastisement? Chastisement means punishment. He was punished. Why do you think they were beating Jesus? They could have taken him straight to the cross and just killed and just crucified him. They didn't do that. They put lashes on him. He traded places with us. Hallelujah. My place has been taken by the scapegoat. When sickness comes into my physical body, in my spirit, I know that sickness has been paid for. And it's only a matter of time before it disappears from my life. If sorrow wants to come into your mind, you can reject it. I will not be sorrowful. because he was bruised for all my griefs and all my sorrows. Everything was laid on him. If you are having confusion in your heart, you don't have peace. He said the chastisement. He was punished for it. You know, if you get punished for it again, it means that's double jeopardy. You can't have double jeopardy in the law. If a sentence has been served, you don't have to serve it again. But somebody has served it for you. Christ has served it for me. And so what we need to do when we get the message of Easter is to start laying claim on everything Christ paid for. You see, that the blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. You know, we're going to be looking on Friday at some of these things. But you know, in Matthew, I believe in Matthew chapter 26 and 27, when they took Jesus, there was another criminal. And at that time of the year, they are supposed to release one criminal. And it so happened that the weekend that Jesus was crucified was when that period fell on. You know, it could have been any other time, but it fell on the weekend when the Roman army, the Roman government, they usually release one criminal. So they will ask the people, and it's by public vote. So the people will gather, and they will line up the prisoners, the vilest of criminals. So it was the kind of mercy that was being done once a year. And so there was this man who was a murderer. He was the vilest of sinners. What was his name? Barabbas. And it happened on that weekend. And so what happened was, they said, he was asking them, so who should I release? That was Pilate, wasn't it? And they said, give us Barabbas. And Pilate said to them, why? That this man, I find no fault in him. He has not committed any sin. I've checked him out. I've looked at all the evidence that you brought against the man. Just the same thing as the goat. The goat has done nothing, but you put the iniquity on the goat. And remember, the Bible says Jesus did not speak a word. If Jesus had defended himself, they would not have killed him. The reason he didn't defend himself, because he wanted to carry all our grief, all our sin, all our sickness, and all our pain, and all the things that were troubling us, he was ready to carry them. And so they said, who should we release? They said, give us Barabbas. And you can imagine the crowd, thousands of people, they shout, give us Barabbas. And they say, what should I do with this man then? He said, crucify him. Crucify him. You know, it's interesting. If you go back and think of what could have been happening, Barabbas was probably in one of the area, maybe in a prison somewhere and all of that, and he's hearing. You know, he can't hear what Pilate is saying. All he's hearing is, give us Barabbas. And then there's a pause. And then he hears what? Crucify him. So he's shaking in his boots. Oh, they're saying, give us Barabbas. Because that's all he's hearing. He can't hear what Pilate is saying, but he's hearing the people saying, give us Barabbas, crucify him. And then a soldier goes to him, and they grab him, and he's shaking. He's shaking in his boots, shaking. And as soon as they bring him over, and you know, when they brought him, they said, you know the word they said? They said, release him. He released Barabbas to them, and he did what? He scorched Jesus. They released. So there was a path. So Barabbas is coming and is thinking they're going to put him, they're going to start smacking him and beating him now and take him into the cross. And then he comes out. They say, no, you are free. This man is the one that will die. So just imagine Barabbas is thinking, this is too good. That's what the gospel means. Too good to be true, but it is true. There's an exchange. There's trading up. Barabbas is representing us. So Barabbas goes home, and the innocent man is being taken. I don't think Barabbas will wait in that place to watch what's going to happen. He's going to run home straight just in case they change their mind. We have been redeemed. There's been a trade-off. trading places. Everything that the enemy has in his arsenal can no longer work on you. Amen. Hallelujah. The blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. That the blessing of Abraham. You know, this is something I do on a regular basis. If I ever, any pain that comes in my body, any pain, any part of my body, I speak to it. I say, you don't belong here. It's been paid for. And I'm telling you, I just carry on what I'm doing. And I don't even know when it goes. Why am I saying all of this? It was paid for. This is not theory. Justice was put on Jesus. He was cursed. The pain, everything, the grief. Anytime you're feeling that you don't have peace, Jesus said to the disciples, said, my peace I give to you. My peace I live with you. I've given you my peace. I've taken all of your pain and all of your trouble. You should live in peace. Amen. Speak it. Declare it. Bible says, by his stripes, you were healed. Have you been healed? How were you healed? How did you get healed? Trade off. He took it upon himself. Say, I'm not a sinner. Why can you say that confidently? That you're not a sinner. You know what you will say? You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I did before I came to church today. You don't know what I did yesterday. Well, you don't know what Christ did. You see, the payment is greater than the sin. The precious blood. He took the blood of Jesus. You know, God couldn't send an angel. You are bigger than angels. You know, sometimes we tell people, we say, oh, what an angel. It's a demotion to call a human being an angel. You are bigger than angels. The Bible says you are joint heirs together with Christ. Your sin has been paid for. Your peace was paid for. Your sickness was paid for. And now there's been an exchange. I can be as healthy as Jesus. I can be as joyful as Jesus. And I can be as strong as Jesus because he has paid for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's begin to declare what Christ has done. Begin to declare that he has redeemed me. He has redeemed me. I've been redeemed. There's been an exchange. No curse can work on me. In the name of Jesus, I want you to declare it. You've got to declare it. Say, it happens by faith. The blessing of Abraham, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles by faith in Christ. I thank you for what you have done. Thank you because you have paid. You have carried my grief. Everything that wants to bring grief into my life, I stand against it right now. It's not mine. It is not mine. I receive and I declare the peace of God upon my life. The Bible says he has given us the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. There's been a trade-off. He's given you joy over sadness. He's put a dance on your steps, on your feet, so you can dance, no longer sorrowful. It's a trade-off. It's a trade-off. Trading places in the name of Jesus. I now have everything that Jesus has. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will reveal to us all the things that have been freely given to us by God. Begin to declare it. I have good health. I have good health in the name of Jesus. My body is sound. My mind is sound. Speak it. Declare it today. In the name of Jesus, my mind, my home is well. My family is well. My job, my work, my business is well. Because Jesus has exchanged. He has traded places. Thank you, Father. I'm redeemed. I am redeemed. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.